hear the Holy Gospel. Peace be unto all.
And to your spirit.
Our readings from the Holy Gospel according to the Evangelist Saint Luke.
Glory to thee, O Lord. Glory to thee.
Let us attend. At that time, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath day. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall, and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound low these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him.
Glory to thee, O Lord, glory to thee.
Please be seated.
Our gospel opens up our minds to a sad reality. It's a reality that didn't leave the church with Christ's resurrection, sadly. It's the reality of those that would teach the gospel and teach the spiritual truths of God in an angry and hypocritical manner, with voices which seek to overcome all opposition simply by the volume with which they're uttered. Today I would submit to you that this angry, this focused, this hypocritical teaching exists in a great way in our country, in our world, in those that are not in the Orthodox Church. And particularly, they're uttered around the issues of salvation. And why should that be strange? Because that's the most important thing, right? That's why we're a church. That's why we come before God, to be saved. And so we shouldn't be surprised the devil, in teachers that are deluded, in teachers that are sinning, would teach angrily against the things of God, particularly the things of salvation. As we approach our epistle today, for by grace you saved, we think of all the voices in the world today teaching us what that means, and how they selectively interpret the scripture and wrest it to their shame. They try to force their angry interpretations, their twisted interpretations, their wresting of the Holy Scripture in such a way that salvation would become something other than what it is, and men would lose their souls as a result. And so it is that when we think of the hypocritical teachers in the synagogue long ago, we should think about how they attacked the salvation of God. There was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity, which bowed her down, it was so serious, for 18 years. And then along comes the Lord and simply says to her, seeing her infirmity, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. What a joyous event. What a loosening of bonds. What a freedom from sin and from infirmity was granted by Jesus and his compassion. Now set against that, we have the response, the angry response of the teachers in the synagogue, the rulers of the synagogue, who answered with indignation. They answered against what God had done. God had immediately healed her. God had loosed her from her infirmity. That's a picture of salvation, of forgiveness of sins that God bestows on us without anything that we did. In our helplessness, in our lowliness, in our sinfulness, God comes and immediately we're made straight when we encounter the Lord Jesus Christ in faith and see his work and his possibilities and his power as God. It says this woman, that immediately when she was healed, she glorified God. She was changed. She glorified God when she recognized the healing power of God. And she now was devoted in his service to whatever he would want. But the rulers, they answered with indignation. That term is very precise. It defines someone whose pride acts with anger. Indignation, pride acting with anger. What they were angry was at this simply, that Jesus operated outside of their box, their way, their plans, their salvation, their control. Jesus came and saved a sinner. They saw someone define their authority. And in their pride, they were angry. And they said he ought to only come when they wanted him to, on the Sabbath to heal. But he, despite knowing what they desired, did what he willed. The world's pathway to salvation is always about something that man does. Man prays, perhaps. Man works, perhaps. Man obeys, perhaps. But God has a plan of salvation. It's of his choosing, and it's his way. It's not doing it their way. It's doing it his way. God teaches us in our epistle today that his work of salvation is always his work. In the end, totally, fully, completely. And so we turn our eyes onto what the Apostle Paul says in this great passage today about salvation. Ephesians chapter 2 is used by everyone that claims the name of Christ, I think, to show us the path to salvation. But sadly, many voices omit the fullness of God's teaching and so deny us what God really wants us to have in his salvation. The Lord starts off this passage by saying that God, who is rich in mercy, withholding what we deserve, God comes. In his great love, he shows us his mercy where he loved us. It's like we said last week, love acts by mercy. It's one of the first things and the greatest things about love, that love acts in mercy. And so it was in his great love, God came out to us. And it says that when we were dead in sins, we were quickened together with Christ by God. By grace are you saved. What a beautiful statement. This mercy of God was excluded not from us who were in sin. In fact, we were so sinful that we were dead in sins. And yet still, despite all that, the Lord God comes to us just like he came to the woman and lifted up us from our place of deadness, of soul and spirit. And he quickened us with Christ. And then he says, by grace are you saved. And it says that when God saves us and lifts us up and quickens us, he raises us together and makes us sit together in heavenly places with Christ, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. It's God who made us alive. God who brought us to life. By his grace, he saved us. He's merciful. Instead of giving us what we deserved, he pours grace upon us. He lifts us up like the woman. He's seen us in his compassion. He approaches us to save us. It's all of him. And what he's offering us in his salvation is clearly expressed in this passage. It's healing. It's fullness. It's being with him. Christ is our inheritance, my brothers and sisters. We will sit with Christ. This is a picture of the heavenly banquet, the heavenly life. Sitting with Christ, together with Christ. All sin driven far away. No more death. Sitting with Christ in heavenly places in the ages to come. Forever and forever. Sitting with Christ. This is union with Christ. This is being with Christ. This is God's work. That in the ages to come, He can show His riches to you through His grace. So God delivers us from our sinful state. And then comes this great passage about how God worked to save us. It's a passage that we need to note every single word of, every single phrase, every single order. And we need to see this in its completion. Not partially, but fully. So we can be aware of what God's salvation really is. And His place in our salvation. The Lord starts off by saying, simple words, "For by grace are you saved through faith." He puts these things together to show us that it's by grace, meaning that it's not what we deserve. We got something we didn't deserve. God's pouring out upon us blessing that we didn't deserve. We, who were dead in trespasses and sins, God comes to in His mercy and pours out what we don't deserve. This is grace. This is His power to save us. And He says He saves us by His grace. It's He who descended. He who revealed Himself. He who died. He who opened up heaven to us with His ascension. It's all God's work, salvation, my brothers and sisters. We did nothing. We were like the woman who in our infirmity and our trespasses and sins were dead. How many dead men can heal themselves? But God comes, and by His grace, He does the work to save us. And then He shows the operation by which He does that. It's through faith. But lest we would be inflated by our part, He continues immediately to say that it's not of yourselves, this faith. He says, it's almost like He says, instead of saying that not of yourself, He says, and even that faith is not of yourself. For the gospel says the same gospel, an epistle written by Paul in another place in Romans. He says, it's impossible for us to believe except we hear. And so, unless there was a gospel, there would be nothing to have faith in. And so again, faith is not of ourselves. It's from God. It is the gift of God, this salvation by grace, through faith. God's plan, God's choosing of a plan, God's time, God's way, all God. Salvation by grace through faith. It is of God. The whole procedure from beginning to end is of God. And He says, to cap it off, He says, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. When we truly get an idea of the reality of the truth of God's work on our behalf, we're like that woman who's seen the Lord's healing power, gives glory to Him. And we understand that the whole process of being lifted up from our sins and from our deadness and from our being separated from God from eternity and then placed instead in the banquet forever is God's work. We understand that there's nothing we really could have done to have gotten to the place where we could actually think of sitting with Christ for eternity. Nothing that we could have done. But He doesn't stop with these great statements about His grace. He doesn't stop by letting us think that that's the end of what He has for us. Because when we think of the gospel and its effect on people, we just saw in our gospel what the woman did when she was done. It says she glorified God immediately and continuously she would glorify God for what He did. And the Lord says, to clarify things for us, He says this, "We are His workmanship in Christ Jesus, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath or before ordained we should walk in them." We are God's workmanship. This new creation. That's what He means by this creation. Through the new birth, through baptism, and through the grace of the Holy Spirit, you become a new creation in Christ. This new creation was created by Him. We're His workmanship. He designed each and everything about you. He gave you certain gifts. He gave you certain talents. He made you for something to do for Him, to bring glory to Him. And He says here that we are His workmanship, created new in Christ Jesus, to do something. It wasn't to stop with the healing and then just go off and do whatever we wanted. And how foolish and how indeed inconsistent and unnatural that would be. For when we receive healing, are we grateful? If we see what God did, are we grateful? Do we really believe He set us in the heavenly places? We're grateful. And we show our gratitude by the reality of our faith that we're created by Him, recreated by Him, to go on to do good works. It says God has ordained before that we should walk in these things. He's appointed. This word ordained means He's appointed. He's planned it. He's required it. It's His way that when God lifts you up and saves you and you see His reality in your life and His claim on your life, that you are in this recreation, this state of recreation. You're a new creature in Christ. And you do things differently. You bow down before Him with your entire life. It's appointed for you. It's ordained for you. That God has a claim on your life. And you understand that claim. That it's totally by His grace. And you decide you're going to always walk. We should walk, brothers and sisters, every day in His grace. Not just the day He saves us and delivers us, but every day, day after day, glorifying God to think about what is before us, what is set before you, but the eternal presence of Christ forever and ever under the ages of ages, always walking until the end of our journey in this grace. When I think of this creation, this new creation that Christ has made of you and of me, perhaps you still await that creation. We need to think about something. When God did the first creation, it was relatively simple compared to the second. God spoke, and there it was. There you were. But the recreation required that His Son go to the cross and shed His blood for you. This is what God's done. God has come to us and given us all in His grace, His great mercy. And this requires that we follow Him with all our hearts. When we see His great mercy, we see what God's done for us, His gift of grace, we love Him, don't we? When we're cogent, we love Him. And we show our love by being a new creation. In fact, by going out with our obedience and love and becoming what He designed you to be, which is truly His son and daughter. Not one estranged by life, but one that's dwelling in sweet communion with Him from this day evermore. We can't deny what God's done for us. We can't defy what God's done for us for the purpose that He's designed us for. We need to rally to that purpose. And to do so, we need to walk with the Lord the way He designed us to walk with Him. We must not hinder His grace. You see, He's not done working. He wants to do continuously. As He did at the beginning of your race, so in the middle and so to the very end. So you meet Him face to face. He wants to continually make you a receptacle of His grace, receiving more and more blessing, more and more communion. We must not let anything come between us and receiving that grace. This is what God wants us to do. When He says He saved you by grace through faith, it wasn't of yourself, truly. And even your work that you do now, today, is not in Him. If you're truly spiritual aware, you'll understand that everything comes from God. Your ability to serve Him comes from Him. Your ability to glorify Him comes because He lifted you up and gave you the gifts and the ability and the health to do it. May God have His way in His recreation, which is you and I. And might we bless Him and glorify Him forevermore. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Yes.